Well, happy Advent.
Happy Advent.
That was better. It's been weak all weekend. Let's try to get it. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent.
It's great to be worshiping with you today. I am partnering with a very special guest for the message today. Would you help me give a warm Good Shepherd welcome to Anna Moorhead? Anna has attended Good Shepherd and been a part of our young adult small group. Recently, Anna returned after serving for a year in Southern Africa with young adults in global mission. And for those who aren't familiar with that, could you tell us what young adults in global mission is?
Yeah, so the ELCA's Young Adult and Global Mission Program, also known as YAGM, is a year-long service opportunity for young adults ages 21 to 29 to serve in 11 different country programs around the world. So this program, we practice the ELCA's model of mission called accompaniment, which at the core is building relationships with each other and walking alongside our global companions and learning with and from them. So it's a really great way to build relationships, build community, learn about yourself, the world, and grow in your faith.
That is great. And now Anna is serving on staff with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our denomination. Anna asked if she could visit Good Shepherd to thank us for our support and to share some updates. I thought it'd be fun to include Anna in the message because her experiences align very well with our theme for today. And before we get into the message, I invite you to open your programs and pull out the green sheet that says Sermon Notes and Response Card. This is a two-way communication tool. When you hear helpful scriptures or ideas, there's a space to jot those down. And then we'd love to hear how God is calling you to respond so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. And I'd like to lead us in prayer now. Would you pray with me? God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace, so no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. 'Tis the season for Advent and flu shots. Have any of you gotten flu shots yet? Some of you, I still haven't gotten mine yet. I will. But we want to protect ourselves from contagious viruses and diseases. Today, Anna and I are going to speak with you about something that's contagious in a good way. It's something we actually want to catch and spread. Our theme for today is kindness. Did you know that kindness is contagious? There's a new study out of Stanford University that reveals kindness is contagious. In the study, participants were given a $1 bonus in addition to payment for completing the study. And then they were shown 100 charities and asked if they would like to donate any of their bonus towards the charities. The participants were shown what they believed was the average from 100 of the previous participants and what they gave towards charity. And scientists manipulated the group results to influence what the participants believed. So some of the participants saw that the last 100 people were very generous and kind and gave over 3/4 of their bonus towards charity. Other participants saw that their previous 100 counterparts were not very kind or generous, and they gave under 1/4 of their bonus towards charity. Scientists found that the participants who saw others be kind became more kind and generous themselves. They wanted to test this further, and so they did a follow-up study. The same participants were then given a pen pal task. They read a letter from someone who described their struggles over the past month and were asked to write back. Well, the participants who saw others be kind and generous wrote letters that were more friendly, empathetic, and supportive to their pen pal than the people who saw others be unkind. After all the studies, the scientists concluded, kindness is contagious. Now, if anybody should catch the kindness bug, I think it should be Christians. We have been shown such incredible kindness by our God. And once you catch God's kindness, you are propelled to share that with others. I'm just curious, would anybody say that our world could use a little bit more kindness? Well, guess what? It starts with us. We have an opportunity to be catalysts for an outbreak of kindness in our world because our acts of kindness help other people catch the bug and spread it. Our scripture reading for this first Sunday in Advent is Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. It provides a powerful example of how kindness is contagious. Along with the scripture, Anna's going to share some examples from her own life of how kindness is contagious. And I invite you to stand as you're able in honor of God's word.
Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave his prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel.
Please be seated. As compelling as this scripture passage is, what I find even more compelling is the story behind the scripture passage. The verses that Anna read come from the Gospel of Luke. Scholars believe that Luke was a physician by trade and a Gentile by birth. This detail is significant because it means Luke was not Jewish. Back in Jesus' day, there was a lot of racial tension between Jewish people and non-Jewish, Jew and Gentile. Many of the Jewish people believed that they were God's chosen people and God's plan of salvation was for them. It didn't include other people. And so some of the Jewish people, they wouldn't hang out with Gentile people. And Gentile people weren't allowed into the holy places of the Jewish temple. When Jesus came, he shattered the dividing lines. And he made it clear that God loves all people. God's plan of salvation includes all people. Unfortunately, behavior patterns did not change all that quickly. And racial tension continued to be an issue as the church was born. There were some followers of Jesus, however, who intentionally stepped across dividing lines to extend God's kindness to people who were different, people of other ethnicities, nationalities. One of those people was the Apostle Paul. Paul, a Jewish man, showed kindness to a Gentile by the name of Luke. And Paul's kindness had a profound impact in his life. In Paul's letters, he mentions how Luke became his dear friend and a fellow worker in spreading the good news about Jesus. He also mentions how Luke became one of his most loyal friends, a friend that stayed with him when everybody else deserted him. We live in a time where racial tensions, dividing lines, they're still an issue. Imagine what might happen if followers of Jesus, like you and me, were just as intentional as Paul was to step across dividing lines, to extend God's loving kindness to people who are different from us. Who knows? We could spark an outbreak of kindness in our world. What we do know is that Paul's kindness was instrumental in helping Luke catch the bug and spread it to others. Remember, Luke wasn't in the religious trade. He was a physician. And yet he was inspired to write one of our four gospel accounts. He researched the story of Jesus so that he could share it with others. Each of the four gospels has a unique emphasis. If you read the Gospel of Luke, you see one of his emphases is that Jesus showed kindness to everybody, especially the ones who were on the fringe of society. And in Luke's society, it was the women, Gentiles, the poor, the sick, the hurting, the sinful, the outcast. Jesus was kind to all of them. But when he really caught the bug was when he discovered how God had been so incredibly kind to all people. Luke begins his gospel, the very first chapter, with the passage that Anna read. It was a hymn of praise from a priest by the name of Zechariah. God had shown kindness to Zechariah by allowing him and his wife to have a child in their old age. And this baby, John the Baptist, would prepare the way for God's greatest act of kindness towards humanity, sending Jesus to save us. Anna, you had a neat insight about God's kindness when you read this passage. Would you share that?
Yeah, God has been kind to us by looking favorably and redeeming us. It says he'll save us from our enemies and those who hate us. This tells me that God has blessed us even when we didn't do anything to deserve this kindness. So I think if we did nothing and God was so kind to us, it's our responsibility to take that kindness and be kind to everyone else, whether we think they deserve it or not, because everyone deserves kindness.
Amen. Just think about how kind God has been to us. Zechariah mentioned how God fulfilled his prophecy from generation ago. God promised to be faithful, to love us, to be with us. And after centuries of people rebelling against God, rejecting God, after centuries of people being so unkind, God stepped across the dividing line to be kind to us. Jesus came from heaven to earth to show us God's kindness. And although people were so unkind to Jesus, he was so kind back to us. He chose to pay the punishment for all of our wrongs so we could be forgiven. He chose to give his life so that we could be saved from death. And now all who believe in him are offered the free gifts of God's forgiveness, eternal life, and God's Holy Spirit. That's kindness. And it's contagious. Paul once mentioned the fruits of the Spirit, evidence of God's presence in our life. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. It's contagious. Once you catch the bug, you're propelled to spread it. And just like Luke and Paul, we have an opportunity to be catalysts for an outbreak of kindness in our world because our acts of kindness can help other people catch the bug and spread it. Anna, you've experienced many examples of this principle in your life. Would you share some of the ways you've experienced God's kindness from others in Good Shepherd and in your ministry?
Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, I moved to the Chicagoland area from Wisconsin, and I was looking for a home congregation. And so I came to Good Shepherd. Something that kind of brought me here was the young adult ministry opportunities. And so I joined Christian Life Applications, which at the time was the name of the young adult group. And that was a really great way to have a community within a greater community and get to know some people my age and that type of thing, recognize a few more faces on a Sunday. And so that was a really neat way to meet people and to learn that we had more in common than I thought we did and just kind of build those connections in the greater community. And then while I was serving in Southern Africa, we're all asked to raise $5,000 as volunteers, which is a third of the total cost of the program. And this is meant to be so that you have a support network of people back in the States that are praying for you and keeping up with your journey and engaging with you. And I got my update and I saw Good Shepherd had supported me. And I thought, that's pretty amazing since I came here for a couple of years and was involved with CLA, but it had been a little while. And so I thought that was just such a neat way to show the kindness that it's not just within these walls. It's you're taking that kindness out into the community and into the world. So thank you for all of your support to me personally, but also to all of the ELCA ministries, because with your support, we're able to continue showing that kindness locally, but also all around the world. And so in South Africa, during my time, I could tell you story after story of all of the kindness and the hospitality and the generosity I witnessed and I was a part of, but I'll only share a few stories. And in South Africa, services were a minimum of 3 hours, sometimes all day. But
you heard that, right? just checking.
Figured you don't want to stay here all day. So a couple of my favorite stories include my host family, for example. So they offered to host an American with the church for an entire year, and they didn't know who I was, didn't know my name or anything, and just willingly opened up their home. And now they're my closest family. I refer to them as my sister and my brother, and that's a pretty neat experience. And then I felt kindness during those really long church services because they were filled with joy and spontaneous choruses and dancing. And some of those dances included choreographed dances, which I was not familiar with. And so people would kind of show me the steps so I could at least attempt to do the dance alongside them. And the services were in about 4 different languages on a given Sunday. And so with the hymn books, people would often kind of help me follow along so I could attempt to speak in some of the languages and follow along with the service so I knew what was happening, as well as translate part of the sermon for me so I could also understand the message. And that was just a really neat sense of community as well in the church and outside of the church walls as well. And people all the time, congregants and friends just invited me in for tea and for coffee and for a meal together. And that was just such a neat way to sit down and get to know someone and hear their challenges and hear their joys. And that was just such a really neat experience to build relationships.
Nice. And so it's clear you've experienced a lot of God's kindness from others. And you caught the bug. You've been propelled to spread that kindness to others. Would you share some of the ways that you've been called to show kindness in your ministry?
Yeah, so God has gifted us and called us to serve Him and others without fear. We're called to be the light to those who don't have a relationship with God, or maybe they simply just need a light in amidst a challenging, darker time. So by trusting in God and doing as we're called, I think you'll become stronger in your own personal faith and your own spirit. So I personally had to put a lot of trust in God throughout this Yegem discernment process and year. When I kind of looked into the Yegem program because I have a passion for global service and serving others, and I really liked the faith component and the idea of building relationships with our global companions. So I decided to apply and was offered and was called to serve in South Africa. And when I got on that airplane, there were a lot of unknowns still. I didn't know exactly where I'd be living, didn't know who I'd be living with. I knew one of my service sites, but I would have another one. So there were just a lot of questions, which coming from an American culture of needing to know all the answers was really challenging. So there was a lot of prayer and a lot of trusting in God. And I'm really happy I did because I saw my faith strengthen throughout the year and saw how the plans unfolded, which was really neat to see. So during my time in Southern Africa, I served at a development office associated with the church. So there I did a lot of work with violence against women, the HIV and AIDS prevention program in Swaziland, which is funded by the ELCA. So that was also a really neat way to learn where our resources are going here and meet with the people that are benefiting from these and how that's impacting their lives. And it was a really neat experience as well. I also served at a daycare with over 100 kids and a daycare for kids with disabilities. And that was a really neat way, too, to see what's going on the ground and just meet with people and meet them where they're at. And something that was really neat to experience as well is the community-orientedness and how people I met in my community, whether it was at church or whether it was someone I met on my taxi, typically had a pretty strong faith life and connection to a church some way, shape, or form. And so I learned that Christianity on the African continent has grown over 4,400% since 1990, which is absolutely incredible. And it's projected to be about 600 million by 2025. And that was just something that I didn't know going into this year, but that was a neat way to kind of reflect on my own faith journey and where is church in my life and where can I maybe show kindness in the church more and outside of the church walls.
Wow. It's really neat to hear about what God is doing in Africa. And I think our country really needs an outbreak of kindness as well. I mean, we often hear stories of cruelty, racism, oppression, prejudice, hatred, violence. Our hearts break over lives lost and people hurt. But the good news is God's kindness is contagious. Once you catch the bug, you're propelled to share it. Just like Luke and Paul and Anna, we have an opportunity to be a catalyst for an outbreak of kindness in our community, in our country. So Anna and I want to leave you with a kindness challenge. In the passage for today, I was struck by the contrasting imagery. Jesus is described as a morning light, shining his light on those who live in the shadow of death. Morning light, shadow of death. It made me wonder, which one am I more like? When I enter a room, when I interact with people, when I go through my day, which one am I more like? Am I more like the morning light or a shadow of death? Do I brighten people's day or cast a shadow of gloom? Do I lift people up or bring people down? Do I add warmth or a frosty chill? Do I enlighten new possibilities? Or do I thicken the fog of despair? How about you? Which one are you more like? When you enter a room, when you interact with people, when you go through your day, are you more like the morning light or a shadow of death? What would other people think? As followers of Jesus, we are called to shine his light of loving kindness for all to see. So this week, we want to challenge you to consider how you can be a morning light for others. We'll share a few ideas to get the creative juices flowing. Our worship team created a bookmark that's going to track through our Advent series. These bookmarks will be in baskets as you walk out of the worship space. On the back of the bookmark, it says, Christ's presence propels me toward. The first category is kindness. They have listed a few ideas. Every time you're able, let someone go ahead of you in traffic. Shovel a neighbor's sidewalk and driveway. Do a secret act of kindness for someone. Anna, you had some good ideas too. You want to share some of those?
Yeah, invite someone for coffee or a meal with you. Maybe a congregant that you don't know super well, or a neighbor, or a colleague, or a friend. This is a really great way to hear people's story, hear about the challenges they might be facing, the joys they're celebrating, and you might find out you have more in common than you thought you did. And another idea I have is to support prayerfully as well as financially to a young adult in global mission or missionary serving somewhere in the world. Maybe it's somewhere that you are passionate about. Maybe it's somewhere that you don't know very much about, but you'd love to hear what the church is up to over there. That's a really great way to be engaged with the global church. And I've been back about 4 months now, and I've already donated and continue to pray for, as well as engage and accompany the Yagam that are overseas currently. This can be a really challenging time to go through Advent and Christmas in an unfamiliar place at that time, and not with your loved ones that you're used to celebrating with. So it's a really great way to keep those people in your thoughts and prayers.
Great ideas. And I'll close with three other real quick ideas. First, all around our church are trees that provide opportunities to show God's kindness to others. One tree, for example, is the angel tree. It provides gifts for children whose parents are incarcerated. Another tree is the Friends of the Lakota tree, providing much needed support to one of the most impoverished areas in our world and in our country, the Pine Ridge Reservation. Take an ornament. Show God's kindness. Second, we have our Christmas Eve services coming not too far away. We're going to host a lot of services that will reach a lot of people, many of whom don't know the good news of Jesus or have a home church of their own. It takes a lot to host these services. And I know we have Christmas plans and activities, but in light of the kindness that God has shown to us, a great act of kindness would be to sign up to serve, to help us host these services and share the good news of Christmas. There's a sign-up sheet right out of the worship space. Sign up. Show God's kindness. And then finally, I want to take us back to Luke and Paul. We do still live in a time where there are racial tensions and dividing lines that separate. And so I invite us to prayerfully consider, how is it we could step across dividing lines to show God's loving kindness to people who are different from us, maybe people who are on the fringes of society? Ask God to put a name or a face on your heart. Be a friend. Show God's kindness. You never know whose life you could transform. Luke's life was transformed by Paul's kindness. Whose life can you transform? Kindness is contagious. Once you catch the bug, you're propelled to share it. So how can you this week be a morning light for others? The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name in your email, I promise I'll pray for you, write back to you. You can jot down your response, put it in the offering basket, or hand it to us on the way out. Also, there's a code at the top. If you scan it, you can do it all from your phone. I'm going to give you a few minutes with God and then lead us to the table.